Psalm 23, and we'll read verses 1 down through the first part of verse number 3, the great text known as the Shepherd Psalm, "The Lord is my Shepherd." Psalm 23 tonight, the title of the message, "The Restored Soul." The Restored Soul. Psalm 23, let's begin in verse number 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." Father, do ask now, Lord, that you'd bless us as we assemble around the Word of God. Father, I pray for the ministry of thy Spirit, Lord, that you might exalt the Lord Jesus. And Father, that you might teach us and instruct us, Lord, of the preciousness and the power of this great truth. Lord, write it upon our hearts that we might be faithful to follow the shepherd and be able, Lord, to exercise this faith and, Lord, be able to know the joy and wonder of following thee each step of the way. Bless us now, Father. We'll be careful to praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In our study, we've seen that David, in his times of meditation, in times of considering life and all that life brings, David, by the Spirit of God, came up with this great truth. As he related his ministry of tending his father's sheep, and there he verbalized and recorded for us his great confession of faith. And that confession we studied previously is that the Lord is my shepherd. That is a confession of faith because David emphasized that he was mine. And that is that David made a willing choice by faith that the Lord was going to lead him and he would yield unto the Lord. And so we find that, secondly, that David, based on that confession, he made a great declaration. Knowing the Lord and knowing God's faithfulness and God's leadership in his life, David made this declaration, "I shall not want." David knew that God was the great provider and that God loved him and that in no way would he be in a place that God did not provide for what he needed. And so he made this declaration. And now in our third message, I want you to see David's subjection of faith. For he says here, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Notice here, David says that the Lord leads him. The Lord makes him to lie down and the Lord leads him. Why? Because David is going to follow the Lord as his shepherd. David puts himself in the position of being a lowly sheep here, and that he is going to follow the shepherd by faith. And having said that, we know Jesus said in John 10, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." And so the shepherd leads the sheep. That's what a shepherd does. That's his calling. That's his expertise. That is his wisdom, his power, his love for the sheep. He will lead them. He goes before them. That is the role of a shepherd. The shepherd does not simply give commands and point a direction like you would to a well-trained animal. Like a dog instructor would give lessons for a dog and they would go ahead, but sheep have to be led. And the shepherd is willing to lead the sheep, but the sheep have to be willing to follow the shepherd. And so when David makes this confession and this declaration, it's because he has subjected himself that he's come to the place in life where he is simply going to be a follower, that he's going to follow the Lord, that he will listen for and seek instructions of the shepherd, that the daily part of his life, he will consider what the shepherd would have him do, and that is the nature of the sheep, and that is who Jesus described as being his sheep. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And so Jesus here identified what is someone who is a true sheep of his flock. They are followers of his voice. Now we know that in this loud and busy world, that if we're going to hear his voice, it doesn't happen by accident. It has to happen on purpose. That is, there has to be a seeking, and there has to be a listening. There has to be a quietness of the soul every day to hear the voice of the shepherd. Elijah learned that lesson in a place of great discouragement. And there he had not seen a national revival that he thought would take place and bring Israel back to God and bring back the glory days of the past. And so now he was defeated and disturbed. Jezebel and Ahab were still running the show. And even though 450 prophets of Baal were slain, this did not bring the great revival that he had anticipated. The prayer, the fire from the mountain. And he thought that once they saw this thing that they would all repent and turn back to God. But it didn't happen. And so he wanted to die, and then the Lord led him to the cave. And you remember what happened? God gave him a display of earth-shattering power. As we read the text, we know that there was the earthquake and there was the fire, illustrating the fact that God is awesome in his power. That God is in control of all the elements. And at any time, God has all those things available to him. God has the fires that burn within the depths of the earth. God has the power of the wind. Listen, God has the power of the storms and the clouds and the thunder. And God has the power over all the universe. And all of it simply waits upon his command. I believe God was teaching Elijah, listen, I will accomplish what I set out to accomplish. That I am not defeated in my purpose. That Elijah, you served a role in the great work of what I am doing. But it didn't start with you, and it's not going to end with you. And then God did not give him a direction. God gave him no leadership of what to do in those displays of power. But finally, as he sat there, what do we find? A still, small voice led and guided Elijah, asking, "What doest thou hither?" And paid him out to commission some people to follow him in the great work and ministry of what God was doing. That still, small voice. Listen, my father made it a rule that he didn't do any shouting. My father spoke on a level plane. And he trained us that we do not wait until intensity. My mama was just the opposite. You know how mamas are. She'd say, "Mark, I need you to do so and so." That's number one. You don't even have to get up for that one. Then number two, "Mark, I want you to do so-and-so." And that's number two to 1 minute. Number three, "Mark, I'm going to call your daddy." That was the one you get up on. Now, if she said number one, "Get up, do it now, or I'll call you father," we wouldn't have to go through all that. Okay? Just make number three number one. Now, God can get our attention. But when God raises his voice, prophetically speaking here,
Listen, when God raises His voice, usually, listen, it has going to be a big impact upon our life. But if you want day-to-day leadership in your life by faith, it's a still, small voice in you. It has to be soft. There has to be a tuned ear. There has to be a ready heart and a ready mind to receive it. And so David was committing himself to true discipleship. Because the Bible says in Luke 14:27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. David is talking about in the relationship of shepherd and sheep, what Jesus revealed about what is true discipleship of following the Lord. We follow Him. We submit ourselves unto the Lord. We subject our self-wisdom, our self-rule, our self-ambition, seeking His lordship, seeking His leadership, and we simply cast all that aside for what He would lead and guide and tell us to do. That's a picture of discipleship. Paul spoke of it in Romans 12:1. You know the verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What have you sacrificed? All the stuff that belonged to you. That is your will, your determination, your wisdom, what you think about it. That's all been sacrificed for what the Lord has to say and what the Lord wants and what the Lord reveals. And so the Bible tells us here that the psalmist David is blessed now, having made this confession of faith, this declaration that he knew that he would be blessed by following the Lord. And he came to subject himself to listen for the voice of the shepherd and follow what the shepherd said. Now David begins to relate to us his assurance of faith. Look what he says here. There's a twofold thing found in these verses. Notice, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. We find here that David, as following the shepherd, realized that the Lord had a way of restoring him, of bringing restoration to his soul. We find that David, certainly as we look, not only looks at this relationship from the aspect of his physical need, but also of his spiritual need. That he saw in the shepherd, not only would he be fed the physical food and resources needed for life, but also that God had a way, the Lord had a way of bringing restoration to the inner man, to his soul, in times of trial and trouble. And so he says here, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What is pictured here by the psalmist was the resting of the sheep. That they were brought to a place of rest. And notice here the picture of rest. He maketh me to lie down, not in the rough, barren, rocky lands of the desert, but he makes me to lay down in green pastures. The scene, of course, is rest in the place of plenty. It is a rest at a time of peace, of a time of protection for the body and for the soul. And so David here, as he looks at the great shepherd leading him, he realizes that the shepherd can lead him to a place of rest. That place of rest as pictured as flourishing with plenty, that he would receive the necessary food to his delight. Now that restoration of soul takes us beyond the mere physical need of the body. There are many people today who have more than plenty that they could ever need for their physical lives, but they are torn up and miserable, living in anxiety and in fear and in desperation in the inner man. And so I want you to see here that this aspect is not just a body thing or a physical thing,
but it is a spiritual thing, a restoration of the soul. Now that rest in the land of plenty for the soul is a wonderful picture of the word of God. Listen, we have the sheep now at rest. From a spiritual picture, that rest is not based on the physical, it's based on the spiritual. What is it that the shepherd is able to give to the sheep that would cause him to have a true state of rest in body and soul? It is none other than the word of God. Jeremiah said this in 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You remember in John chapter 6 when Jesus had fed the 5,000. Listen to this, and you'll hear the voice of the shepherd. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. Do you see the connection? The good shepherd's about to feed them. He said, make them sit down in the grass. And the Bible said, so the men sat down, number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples, them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And so Jesus here took the crowd who had been with him all this time, had compassion on them, for they had been with him all day. And so he said, make them sit down in the green pastures. And he began to feed them. Jesus was doing more than feeding them. For he looked up heavenward, the Bible said, and he gave thanks. And then we find later in this chapter, he began to instruct them. And they began to say, now Moses gave us bread from heaven. That is, that there was a great miraculous power of God that fed them from heaven. What blinded people they were, for where did Jesus get all that food from a boy's lunch? It was the miracle of God. But he goes on to teach them this. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You and I understand in the relationship of these great truths that there is one source in all this world that a man can find a true state of rest in the inner man, in the soul and spirit of man. That rest can only be found in the comfort of God's word. We find as we read the promises of God, as we read of all the truths that are unfolded of God's love and provision for us, there's only one place that a man can truly lie down and be at rest in his soul. It's when he has taken the word of God into his ears, when he's like Jeremiah, has eaten the word of God and received it. It is the only thing in this world that will bring a true rest to the soul of man. And we find here that the great shepherd will lead the sheep to lie down in green pastures. There's no other place, person, or thing that can bring this state of rest to the soul. I'm glad tonight, in the midst of the challenges of life, in this journey of faith we travel, I'm thankful, listen, that as we begin to feed upon the word of God, a sweet contentment fills our soul that we cannot find anywhere or anything else in this world. That there's a peace that comes over us that we know, listen, God has come and he's brought a restoration to our souls. That God has given us that ability to stop and just recognize that my shepherd is God. The Lord is my shepherd. Why should you and I seek to call upon the Lord to be our shepherd? Why should we make our subjection unto him? Because, for very simple reasons, the Lord can do things that no one else can do. Why I have rest is because
I serve and surrender to the Lord as my shepherd, knowing that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. When you and I face life, we face probabilities.
Probabilities cause anxieties. When we look at life simply on a human, physical, natural level, we get put in situations where the probability is we're not going to make it. Right? We face that in our life all the time. The probability is, if I factor in life, when I face these things, this is probably how it's going to work out. And it's pretty dismal. But when the Lord is your shepherd, you look upon those things not at probability, but possibility, because God, our shepherd, listen, is mighty and able to do all things. I'm at rest. You know why? Because God is greater than my enemies. I'm at rest. Why? Because my shepherd is greater than every circumstance I could ever face. He's greater. When you and I get pressed up between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea, God can open a way that we can cross on dry ground. That is who our shepherd is. That's why he's able to give rest, because he can do anything. Now listen, when the cupboard is bare, God, listen, can put food in it. Listen, when we face the streams are dried up, listen, God can open up a well that we knew nothing about. Listen, God is able, when we have prepared our last meal, God can send the prophet by and show us how, by faith, that we can have a plenty by trusting in the Lord. God is able. And so we do not look as men look. We do not look based upon probabilities. We do not look based upon possibilities. We look knowing that our God is able to do everything that we need. And when it comes to his sheep, he will do whatever is needed. God oftentimes uses natural means. Listen, when we face obstacles that we can't change, but when need be, God does a supernatural miracle, listen, to make sure his sheep are provided for. And so, listen, the Lord's able to give rest. We find the second thing here. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Most would teach us today, as we read and you study, and that sheep are very uncomfortable drinking from a current in the stream. The shepherd leads them by the still waters where they are comfortable taking in the refreshment. The second thing I want you to see that the shepherd is able to restore our souls. Number one, he gives us rest. Number two, he gives us refreshment. Here, the sheep drink of the water. We know that the water to the parched tongue is refreshing, that it is invigorating, that it is reviving, that it is a picture of the quickening power that brings us back again to the place of joy and hope. We find throughout the scriptures, it is emphasized that that refreshing water is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen what Jesus said in John chapter 7. At the Feast of Tabernacles, when the water was poured out as a drink offering, and it ran down the altar, ran down the streets, Jesus stood up and pronounced the fact that he indeed was the water of life. And here's what he said: He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Jesus here draws the typology down to the refreshing power of those waters that are found in him, that it is nothing more than the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And you remember a key word that associates with the Holy Spirit is the word quickening, that is to make alive, in the sense of reviving, of enlivening, that the power of the Holy Spirit of God will quicken us, make us alive. The Bible says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The Bible says, Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Thank God tonight, listen, when you and I follow the shepherd, he leads us to lay down and find rest in the green pastures. But also by the Spirit, he is able to bring refreshment and bring us back to a state of joy and hope. Listen, in this life, you and I will not find too many things that bring a refreshing to our soul. If it does, it is only a temporal thing. But there is a well that God puts in the heart of the Christian so that you and I have a resource to tap into no matter where we are, in what circumstances. And we may be on the backside of the desert, so to speak, or we may be in the rough, dry, and barren ground that life has brought us to, that circumstances have now come against us. But God has given you a well that travels with you everywhere you go, and you and I can tap into the resource of the Spirit of God, and He's able to bring restoration and joy and hope back to our soul, even, listen, when there is no earthly means and no earthly resources that would encourage our heart. We find it down through the Scriptures as we look at Bible characters when they had just about come to the end of the rope, to their wits' end, how that God was able to refresh their soul by filling them with hope. The Holy Spirit of God, our teacher, the Holy Spirit of God who comes and makes personal and real to us the promises of God. He that yields by faith to the leadership of the shepherd finds not only rest for his soul, but he finds refreshment for his soul. How many times have you and I gone to the well? And listen, we've got on our knees and we've come back to the well. God, I need some hope. I need some encouragement. Lord, I need something to strengthen me, something to lift me up. I need some spiritual food. I need to be quickened. I need to be invigorated. Lord, I need a reason to continue to go on. And listen, how the Holy Spirit of God will direct your thoughts. And listen, He will direct your mind as you read through the Scriptures, as you think about Him, as you think about the verses. The Holy Spirit of God will take a truth and He'll take what somebody said. He'll take a verse of Scripture and bring it back to your mind. Now listen, He'll take a circumstance and begin to blossom that thing and fill your mind with thoughts that will encourage you and give you hope and give you strength and bring refreshment back to your soul. Listen, when you follow the shepherd, He brings refreshment again in that inward man and brings that restoration to your heart. This is an essential in the challenging journeys of faith that you and I have to go through. Life is full of trouble and trial, but thank God if we follow the shepherd along the way, you know what He does? He knows when you need rest. Amen. Listen, when the shepherd knows, He knows when you need rest. The shepherd knows also when you need, some refreshment. And listen, He's always there to seek and care for the sheep. He knows them, knows what they need more than they know it. And so part of the leadership in the journey is making sure that the sheep need what, listen, they get what they need, that they might be vibrant. We are a testimony for the faithfulness of the shepherd. The condition of His sheep are a reflection upon the shepherd. Now, there are many people, listen, that are not giving a good reflection of the shepherd. You know why? Because they're not following Him. They're not following Him. If you're not following Him, listen, you've opened yourself up. Listen, for hunger. Open yourself up for thirst. You've opened yourself up for an enemy attack. You've opened yourself up, listen, for unnecessary injury. You've exposed yourself to the elements. And listen, you've gotten off the path. You see, you and I cannot claim the glorious appropriation of this man's faith unless the Lord's our shepherd. He says this, He restoreth my soul. Amen. Notice the personal pronoun throughout this text. He said, He restoreth my soul. You say, preacher's not restored mine. Then you're not following Him. You're not following Him. There are many people who generalize this scripture and they want to claim all the blessings that come from knowing that the Lord Jesus is the shepherd. But this is all a personal psalm. This is a personal confession. This is what this man has declared by faith and what he has and will experience. Why? Because he follows the shepherd. You see, the wonders and glories of Jesus Christ are only available by faith. Right? You and I know how wonderful he is. The world doesn't. Now listen, we have experience where we testify of his grace and goodness. Some people don't have that testimony. Why? Because they haven't followed him. And so there are many who seek to claim these things and even quote them, but they haven't experienced them because the experience always follows obedience. You see, you have to obey the shepherd. Many people won't rest today. But listen, they're not following the shepherd, not obeying his voice. And they're troubled. Always troubled. Turned upside down. Troubled. Anxiety, fear, problems, crisis. Many people, listen, they want a restoration of joy and hope in their life. But they don't have it. They don't have it. They could have it. Don't have it. It only comes from following the shepherd, you see. Listen, the benefit and blessing we have in Jesus Christ is because of relationship. When you got saved, listen, it wasn't just a free ticket to heaven. It was a relationship with the Savior. The benefit comes in the relationship. Listen, the blessings come when we hear his voice. The blessings come when we follow him. And so the rest and the refreshment only come when we follow the shepherd and submit ourselves unto him. And listen, we cast aside and sacrifice how what we think and our wills and our ambition and our affections and listen, all of our authority. And we subject it unto the shepherd. And we just be the sheep. And we come, Lord, what would you have me to do? And Lord, lead my paths and direct my course. And Father, I come seeking thee and want to walk in a way that pleases thee and obey thy will. Lead me and guide me. And you know what? You know that's a prayer God delights to answer. When somebody comes sincerely and said, Lord, would you lead me? Now listen, isn't that the blessings to the shepherd? That's all the shepherd wants from his sheep. The shepherd, listen, he's not disappointed because the sheep don't fetch. Because we're not called to be Labrador retrievers. We're called to be sheep. Now listen, the shepherd's not upset. Listen, because we're not able to jump over the fences. He'll train us to jump like a jumping horse. Listen, he's not upset. Listen, because we can't carry a load like a packed mule. You know what the Lord wants of the sheep? Follow me. That's all he wants. That's all he wants from the sheep. That's all he expects. Just to follow him. And listen, that simple relationship of following him. And listen, what a blessing comes to us when we follow the Lord and we will experience that the shepherd is able to give us rest. Mama said, some of y'all are maybe starting to learn this, but Mama said, she's of course 86 now, be 87 in May. She said the hardest thing about getting this old is even though you lay down for an hour, lay down for 10, 12 hours, you still don't have a sense of rest. You know, in other words, the refreshment hasn't come from the rest. And she said, even though, listen, you lie flat on your back, the body's just not able to refresh itself like it used to. When you finally lay down, give it some time. And certainly, you can understand this, that's common with age. But listen, there's some people who have perfectly healthy bodies. And they can sleep for 10 hours. But there's something missing. There's not a rest that goes down to the depths of the inner man. And he makes to lie down in green pastures. And then he leads us by the still waters. Because, listen, life sometimes gets pretty barren. But the Lord's able to give you some water that'll bring refreshment to your soul. Those are experiences that come from the sheep who follow the shepherd by faith. And as we obey Him, He will lead us. I wonder, in closing tonight, how many wonderful rest stops we've missed because we didn't follow Him. I wonder times of refreshment, an oasis we didn't ever get to that God had planned for us because we didn't follow the shepherd. And we missed out on some things. These blessings that make this psalm so precious is a personal relationship between David and the Lord, between the shepherd and sheep. But we know this, it can be our relationship too if we'll simply follow the shepherd. He will restore our souls. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. Rest and refreshment. We need it for the body. We also need it for the soul. And the shepherd is the only one who can lead us to both.